We are continuing today our series in the fruit of the Spirit. We took a break for about 7 weeks or so, a break that's already gone on much longer than any of us anticipated. That first week when we had to cancel service, I think that most of us thought it would only be a few weeks, but here we are, our eighth time together this way, and we long for the Lord to bring us all back together again. And so even as I was thinking through the Lord's guiding us to return to the series on the fruit of the Spirit, what better fruit to come face to face with this morning than the fruit of patience, as I'm sure all of us are asking the Lord to develop more of that in our lives. So let me just kind of bring you into the fruit of the Spirit study, because I know it's been a long time, and perhaps you're even new to us as a church family. You've been perhaps participating online for weeks, and we haven't met you yet. So I just want to kind of bring you into the fold in that way. We spent quite a few months going through the book of Galatians and just being so encouraged by the sufficiency of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins and his victorious resurrection that has freed us from the penalty of sin and freed us from the dominion of the law. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and lived a sinless life. He fulfilled the law that you and I are powerless to fulfill, and he took that sinless life to the cross, and he offered it as the one and only acceptable sacrifice for sin. In the place of sinners, he, the Lamb of God, died in our place so that we might be freed from sin's penalty. And that's really what it means to be justified. It means to be justified means to be declared righteous by God. And that declaration of righteousness that comes from God is what gives us confidence that we are free now from the penalty of sin and from the penalty of the law. And so Galatians is a book that talks about how we as believers need to walk in the power of the Spirit, not in the power of the law or in the power of our self-sufficiency or what we think is our ability to obey the law, because the law confronts us. The law shows us that we are desperately unable to be righteous. And so the law is our teacher, Paul says in Galatians, to bring us to Christ, where we then come empty. We come spiritually bankrupt as we are to Jesus, recognizing that if he does not give us his spiritual riches and the grace of God, then we are hopeless and helpless. And then in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul then in Galatians 5 draws a contrast between the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. That is, what we will produce in our lives if we live under the power of our flesh, our sinful flesh, or what we will see produced in our lives by the Holy Spirit of God as we submit to his word and we walk in fellowship with him. And so we've been drawing this connection between the fruit of the Spirit and our union with Christ. And we started in John 15 and we talked about how bearing the fruit of the Spirit is really bearing fruit in Christ. That is, that the Bible teaches that every Christian is in Christ. That is, he or she is inseparably united to Jesus in his life and death and resurrection. So to be in Christ is to be a new creation, to be a new creature made by God or remade by God, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. So to be in Christ is also to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. There is this connection then that we have with Jesus, this union with Christ. As a branch is connected to the vine, results in the production of fruit. So our connection to Christ should produce fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All other fruit bearing is simply the temporary result of having enough willpower to change. But the fruit of the Spirit is different. Jesus says it this way in John 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So the life of Christ working itself out in our lives as we walk in step with the Spirit results in the development of Christ-like character, which is another way of describing the fruit of the Spirit. And so we began working through that list that the Apostle gives to us in Galatians 5. And we talked about the fruit of love, how the Spirit of God produces in us the fruit of love, which is the supreme Christian virtue. The Bible says that the greatest of these is love. And Paul says in Colossians 3 that actually love is the character quality or the virtue that holds all of these other virtues together. He says, above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And so then it's no surprise to us that we come then to the list of the fruit of the Spirit, and the first is love. Love is that consistent demonstration of putting others above ourselves. It's the outworking of the life of God or the Spirit of Christ within us. Then we looked at the fruit of joy. What does it mean to bear the fruit of joy? And again, we saw from John 15 that joy is connected to our relationship to Jesus. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And so we came to this understanding that joy is different than happiness, that joy is a settled state of mind and heart that is produced by the Holy Spirit, which results then in contentment and confidence in God, that God is trustworthy and his purposes are good. And that means that even in the midst of circumstances that are less than pleasant and less than acceptable from our standards, we can be joyful. We can have contentment because it's connected to our relationship to Christ. And then we looked at the fruit of peace. What does it mean to bear the fruit of peace? Well, we lifted up Jesus as the Prince of Peace, the one who has done all that was necessary to reconcile us to God. And that then results in this call upon our lives to be people who pursue peace and who maintain peace. We are called to bear the fruit of peace. And this is the way of the gospel. So when we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we will be people who pursue peace. We will replace pride with humility. We will resolve conflict immediately. And we will seek to repay all evil with good. Well, this morning, we come to the next Christ-like virtue that's mentioned there in Galatians chapter 5, which is patience. This is part of the fruit of the Spirit, patience. Well, let's begin by taking a few minutes to define patience. What exactly is biblical patience? This is so important for us to get, because I think for most of us, a biblical understanding of patience is not quite what we have. When we think of patience, we think perhaps of something a little easier to accomplish than what the Bible calls us to be. Well, patience comes from a compound word, which is two words put together. Children, you're listening here today, you're watching, you know what compound words are. Compound words are two words put together to form one word. And so that's what the word patience is in the Bible. It comes from two words, one meaning long and one meaning tempered. So, to be patient means to be long-tempered. So other compound words you might think of are firemen, fire and man, or sunflower, or sailboat, or football. I mean, there are hundreds of different compound words that we have in our vocabulary. Well, patience is one of those words. It means to be long-tempered. So this is what it means to be patient. Patience is being long-tempered or slow to anger. It's often translated long-suffering. So when you read of patience in the Bible, you don't always see the word patience, but sometimes, many times, you see the word long-suffering. That God is long-suffering, or that God has called us to be long-suffering toward one another. So patience is the opposite of being short-tempered. Patience is being long-tempered. So if you are quick-tempered, that is, you are easily given to anger, then you are also undoubtedly an impatient person. Because impatience goes right alongside being quick-tempered. So patience is the solution to impatience. Being long-tempered is the solution to being quick-tempered. So patience is being long-tempered or slow to get angry. And it's often translated long-suffering. All right, one more part of this definition I want you to think about. Patience is bearing up under ongoing mistreatment or unpleasant circumstances without getting angry. This is a really important part of the definition because it tells us that patience is not a very quick one-time character quality. And we're patient in the moment. But actually, patience is a character quality that results in bearing up, that is, bearing up under ongoing mistreatment. So patience is a quality that we need when we are put to the test for a long period of time, such as the test that we're living in right now. We are doing our best to bear up under ongoing mistreatment or unpleasant circumstances, but to do so without getting angry. So this is a good test for you. If you, whether or not you are bearing up under this ongoing mistreatment or ongoing unpleasant circumstance, question is, are you getting angry about it? If you're getting angry about it, then that reveals that you don't have the fruit of the Spirit that's called patience. Patience is that ability given to us by the Holy Spirit to bear up under unpleasant circumstances, but to do so not with anger, but to do so with joy. This kind of patience is connected to endurance or perseverance, and it's rooted in trusting God. That God really is in control, as the Bible says He is. Now this morning I'm going to do something a little bit out of the ordinary, and so I'm going to ask you to be patient with me. Instead of the sermon being drawn primarily from one passage of Scripture, we will draw it from two portions of Scripture. And the reason for that is I really had a hard time as I was looking at this fruit of the Spirit, patience. I had a really hard time finding one passage of Scripture that I felt really encapsulated all of patience, because I thought it was so important for us to understand that the call for us to be patient really grows out of an understanding of God's patience. If the fruit of the Spirit is Christ-like character, and Christ is God, so Jesus Christ is God. So the qualities of God or the attributes of God are really descriptive of the fruit of the Spirit. And so it's important for us to think about the patience of God. So I'm doing this for a very specific reason and a specific purpose, taking you to two passages of Scripture to think about patience. The first passage shows you the proper foundation for patience or long-suffering, which is God's patience. And the second passage shows you why patience is essential to maintaining healthy relationships. So first, let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, where the Spirit of God urges us to remember the patience of God, which brought you to repentance and salvation. So number one, to grow in patience, you must remember the patience of God that brought you to salvation. Look at how the apostle does this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Paul writes, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly, that is, before I was saved, I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So you see what the apostle is doing here? He's saying, I thank Jesus that he called me into the ministry, even though my past is filled with so much sin. But God, in his mercy, saved me. And verse 14, that the grace of our Lord, he says, overflowed for me. And I compel you to think about that this morning. How has the grace of God overflowed in your life? Think of your past before you knew Christ. And think, if God would not have rescued you, where would you be today? I'm horrified to think of where I would be today if God had not graciously reached into my life in the spring of 1984 and rescued me by the truth of the gospel. Think about that, because that helps you to remember the patience of God. Now he gets more specific. Verse 15, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. You see what the apostle is saying? He's saying this is a trustworthy and a statement that deserves full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And the apostle Paul said, I'm top on the list. I am the worst sinner of all. And yet, he says, I received mercy. I received mercy from God. Why? Because in the saving of me as a sinner, Paul says, Jesus was displaying his great patience. Is that how you feel today? Are you thankful for the patience of God? Are you thankful that Jesus has displayed his perfect patience in calling you to himself, in bringing you to salvation? This is one of the qualities of the Lord Jesus, to be patient, to be long-suffering. And so, as we are called to put on the fruit of the Spirit, we're called to put on this godlike quality of patience. It's interesting that in the Bible, long-suffering is one of the identifying characteristics of God himself. God says that he is patient. God says he is slow to anger. He does this in Exodus 34. You might remember that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying the first set of the Ten Commandments, he saw the people of Israel throwing a carnal party filled with great sin. And Moses became so angry at them that he threw the Ten Commandments onto the ground and they shattered. The stone tablets shattered. So later, God called Moses back up the mountain. And Exodus 34, verses 4 through 6 says this, so Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first. So Moses cut a second set of tablets. And then it says, he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him and took in his hand the two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now that's interesting. The name of the Lord is all that God is. It's all of his attributes put together. And this is what it says. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. A God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. That's patient, long-suffering. God was identifying himself as a patient God. God was patient with his people throughout biblical history, and he continues to be patient with sinners even today. The Apostle Peter reminds us of this in both of his letters. In 1 Peter 3, verse 10, he says, God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. God was patient in the day of Moses. He was patient in the day of Noah. He didn't have to save, but in his grace and mercy, he chose to save. In Peter's second letter, he says that God continues to be patient even today, giving sinners more time to repent. It says in 2 Peter 3:15, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. The patience of the Lord as salvation. God is so patient with us. As Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, that Jesus saved him from his sin in order to display his patience. That's what God is doing in you, and that's what he's doing in me. So the proper foundation for patience or long-suffering is God's patience. You must continually remind your forgetful self how patient God has been with you and how patient he continues to be with you. And that's what I need to do. When I get impatient with people or circumstances, I have to stop and I have to remind myself, Paul, remember how patient God has been to you and how he continues to be patient. That's the foundation for the patience that you and I are called to display. So that's the first passage of Scripture I want you to look at. But there's a second passage of Scripture, and that is Ephesians chapter 4. So turn there to Ephesians chapter 4. And here we see that the Holy Spirit urges us to recognize the necessity of patience in maintaining unity. So not only do we need to remember the patience of God that brought us to salvation, but we also need to recognize the necessity of patience in maintaining unity. This is a really important connection for us as believers in our relationships, and especially in our relationships in the church, in the body of Christ. Now, walk through it with me, beginning in verse 1 of Ephesians 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, the word therefore in verse 1 signifies a change in direction in the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters, the apostle has been lifting up God and his grace toward us as sinners, in how he has saved us, how he chose us in eternity past, and how he sent Jesus to be our Redeemer, and how the Holy Spirit seals our salvation in Christ. And now he says, therefore, in other words, because of God's great patience and salvation. Therefore, you need to now walk in a way that reflects that. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling. And now notice how he describes this calling. Verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice the connection of all of these virtues. You cannot separate them. Humility and gentleness come together with patience. Patience is a way of bearing with one another, being forbearing, being long-suffering, being slow to anger, and to do this in love. See, humility and patience go hand in hand. Humility produces long-suffering, but pride is the mother of impatience and anger. The Apostle Paul reveals this really important connection in the second chapter of Romans, where he confronts the self-righteous religious person who thinks that he's better than other sinners because of his religion or his religiosity. He says this, "Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" Paul is confronting the proud, arrogant, religious person who looks down their nose at other people and says, "Do you presume on the riches and the kindness and the patience of God? Don't you understand that it's the patience and the kindness of God that leads us to salvation?" So again, if you forget how patient God is with you, then you will habitually be impatient with others. Impatience is rooted in pride. But patience flows from humility. And impatience, or being short-tempered, works against the unity that is part of our calling in Christ. Look at verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word maintain means to preserve. Or it's sometimes translated, eager to keep. In other words, God has created already a unity among us as believers. A unity of the Spirit. A unity that is produced by the Holy Spirit who indwells each believer. And Paul is saying, do everything to guard that unity. Protect that unity. Preserve that unity. Don't let impatience and anger and a lack of gentleness disrupt that unity. You see, impatience is the quiet side of anger. And it creates conflicts. And why does it do that? Well, because anger really is a symptom of fleshly desires that are out of control. That's what James 4 teaches us, where James says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." Anger boils out of us because we have fleshly desires that are at war within us. And what we need to do is, when we get angry, we need to ask ourselves, what is so important to you that you are willing to sin to get it? What about getting your own way is so important that you're willing to sin against God to get it. Because that then disrupts the unity that we have in our relationships with one another. Patience, the Bible says, is evidence that you are walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It means being long-tempered, not short-tempered. It means being slow to get angry, not quick to boil inside with wrath. So let me ask you, which are you? Are you long-tempered or short-tempered? Are you proud or humble? Are you easily irritated when things don't go your way? Or do you have enough faith in God that in the end, He will take care of things? When you pray that God's will be done on earth as it is done in heaven, do you really mean that? Are you humbly resting in God's will to be done? And these are challenging questions for us to ask ourselves in times that test our patience. So what have we learned from these two passages of Scripture? Well, first, we learn that the proper foundation for our growth in patience is remembering the patience of God. God has been so patient with us. And the second passage of Scripture shows us that patience is essential to maintaining healthy relationships and preserving the unity that we have in the Spirit. But let's not stop there. Let me give you five ways to practically apply these truths this week. Five ways for you to express growth in patience as a fruit of the Spirit. Number one, be patient or slow to anger with one another, remembering how patient God has been with you. So consciously think this week how you can be patient with others by remembering that God has been patient with you. I think of Colossians chapter 3, where Paul writes in verse 12, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another." That means be long-suffering toward one another. Be patient with one another. So let me ask you, how is that going at home? How is patience going in your home during this time of quarantine? Kids, how are you doing? How are you doing with being patient? Are you being patient with your brothers and sisters? Are you being patient with your parents? Parents, are you being patient with your kids? Husbands, are you being patient with your wife? Wives, are you being patient with your husband? Those of you who live alone, are you being patient with God and His timing in the working out of this difficult time that we're living in right now? All of us are being tested in this area of patience. We need to ask God to help us to grow in humility, which will then lead to increased patience. Number two, there's a second application. That is this: be patient, that is slow to anger, when others mistreat you. Love your enemies and pray for them. Now, Jesus assured us that mistreatment would be a part of living in this fallen world. So instead of getting even with those who hurt us, we should love and pray for those who take their anger out on us. When this happens at home, when children return evil for evil by returning an insult with an insult, or spouses might do the same, is that a demonstration of biblical love? Is that a demonstration of biblical patience? No, it's not, because being patient means being slow to anger when others mistreat us. So love your enemies and pray for them, even if the enemies are people that you live with, in a practical kind of sense. Number three. Application number three. Be patient when trials persist. So be slow to anger when trials persist. Trust that God is up to something good. Trust in God when things don't go your way means learning to be patient with God. Maybe that's something you've never thought of, being patient with God. But you know what? When you and I resist the trial that we're going through, or we get impatient and angry about it, what we're really demonstrating is that we are impatient with God. And so I ask you that if that's going on in your heart, then you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, show me if I'm angry at you, and that is what is underneath the frustration that I'm feeling in my heart increasingly as these days persist. So stop and consider that your impatience about your current trial, at least sometimes, might be coming from you being impatient with God. And do with God as I have had to do, and confess that to Him. And ask for His forgiveness, and ask Him to teach you to be patient and to be humble. Because, I mean, think about it. Are we seriously going to be impatient with the very one who has been so impatient, or so patient with us? Are we going to be impatient with God when He has been so patient with us? Application number four. Be patient, slow to anger, toward those or toward others whose personal convictions differ from your own. Because love triumphs over liberty. You know, we are not all going to have the same convictions about certain aspects of the Christian life. And so there needs to be love and grace and freedom that we give to one another. So ask yourself, do I love my personal rights more than my brother or sister? Do I love my neighbor as much as I love myself? This is going to be a specific challenge for us in the weeks and the months ahead. I mean, as we begin to wisely ease out of quarantine, we are going to have different thoughts about what this should look like and how fast it should occur. And we all long to be together again. We all long to be worshiping in this place together right now, this morning. But what that's going to look like and how quickly that's going to happen remains unknown. So the question then for us is this: will we be committed to showing each other the same patience that God has shown to us? Will we give one another the same grace that God has given to us? Or will we react in the flesh? And will we basically say, well, it's my way or the highway? This is a time of trial for us. A time that God wants to grow patience in our lives. And then finally, application number five. Be patient with leaders. Trust that the same God who elevated them is ultimately in control. God is sovereign. He has appointed governing leaders for our well-being. Now, that doesn't mean that all governing leaders are always right or they always want the will of God. But if they are acting in the best interest of public health and safety, then there is no biblical reason for us not to honor them in our hearts and wisely consider their counsel and to weigh it all against the principles that we find in God's Word. God is in control. We can trust Him. We really can. And we can also be thankful that we have governing leaders that have not ordered churches to close. Instead, they have preserved our liberty in a way that recognizes that these are gifts that we have from God. These are privileges that we have enjoyed, most of us, our whole life. But many believers in other countries have never experienced the privileges that we enjoy and experience. So let's honor God. Let's remain faithful. Let's, in our hearts, continue to honor those in authority over us and seek to consider their counsel and evaluate it as we look to getting back together again. And let's pray for them. You know, since I've been a believer 36 years now, I've often wondered how our country would be different if we prayed for our leaders, if Christians prayed for their leaders even half as much as they criticize them. We are called to pray for them and to let God be God. So let's be humble. Now, this is a hard sermon to preach, honestly. It's hard to be patient. It really is. I miss you all so much. It is not easy to look at this empty room and preach. But I've got you in my mind. I've got you in my heart. And now someone has graciously put your pictures all over these chairs. And we are going to be together again soon. We will. Not as soon as we thought, but soon. So hold on to that hope. Look to the Lord. Be patient with God. Be patient with one another. Be patient with your leaders. And trust that the God who has been so patient with us is up to something really good. And most of the time we can't see what he's doing. But that's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Let's be patient. And let me give you this final admonition from James 1. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. To have this kind of humble and godly response, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. But we thank the Lord that this fruit of the Spirit that God has called us to display is not something that we have to come up with in our own strength. This Holy Spirit who lives within us as believers will produce this fruit of patience as we lean upon Him each moment of every day. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how patient you have been with us. And Lord, we confess to you that so often we are impatient, and so often that impatience is mingled inseparably with some form of anger in our hearts, where we want what we want and we want it now. We don't want to wait for your timing. Father, forgive us for that. Forgive us because that reminds us that there is a remnant of unbelief that's in our hearts that still wrestles against the release of full control to you and a hearty submission to you and your will. So God, we pray that you will help us. We thank you that as we confess our anger and impatience to you, we can also claim the promise of your word that you are faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we pray, Lord, that you will help us to lean upon the Spirit of God this week, that we will remember that patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we can be patient as we remember your patience toward us, and we seek then to be patient with one another because it gives you glory and it preserves the unity of the Spirit. Father, we long to be together again in this place. Oh, may it be sooner rather than later. But Lord, at the end of the day, help us to be patient and to wait for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.